Tonight, God's word comes to us from Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22. We'll be reading all 41 verses of this chapter. Numbers 22, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's word. Then the people of Israel set out and camped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan at Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was in great dread of the people, because they were many. Moab was overcome with fear of the people of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, "This horde will now lick up all that is around us, as an ox licks up the grass of the field." So Balak, the son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at the time, sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the people of Ammah, to call him, saying, "Behold, a people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the earth, and they are dwelling opposite me. Come now, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them from the land, for I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fees for divination in their hand. And they came to Balaam and gave him Balak's message. And he said to them, "Lodge here tonight, and I will bring word back to you as the Lord speaks to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. And God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" And Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent them to me, saying, 'Behold, a people has come out of Egypt, and it covers the face of the earth. Now come, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to fight against them and drive them out.'" God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go to your own land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you." So the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Once again, Balak sent princes more in number and more honorable than these. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus says Balak, the son of Zippor, 'Let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will surely do you great honor, and whatever you say to me, I will do. Come, curse this people for me.'" But Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord my God to do less or more. So you too, please stay here tonight, that I may know what more the Lord will say to me." And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men have come to call you, rise, go with them, but only do what I tell you." So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. But God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary. Now he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the road and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on either side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have made a fool of me, I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you." And the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Is it my habit to treat you this way?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down and fell on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to oppose you, because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside before me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely just now I would have killed you and let her live." Then Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know that you stood in the road against me. Now, therefore, if it is evil in your sight, I will turn back." And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but speak only the word that I tell you." So Balaam went on with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam had come, he went out to meet him at the city of Moab on the border formed by the Arnon at the extremity of the border. And Balak said to Balaam, "Did I not send to you to call you? Why did you not come to me? Am I not able to honor you?" Balaam said to Balak, "Behold, I have come to you. Have I now any power of my own to speak anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that must I speak." Then Balaam went with Balak. They came to Kiriath Huzot. And Balak sacrificed oxen and sheep and sent for Balaam and for the princes who were with him. In the morning, Balak took Balaam and brought him to Bamoth Baal. And from there, he saw a fraction of the people. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we continue in this last section of the book of Numbers that we are going to study together. The last section includes yet the stories of Balaam and Balak. We'll look at those together in the next couple weeks and then finish up with the second census of God's people in chapter 26. And that will conclude our study of Numbers for this time. This last section of Numbers has some wonderful, memorable stories in it. The story of Moses striking the rock. The story of the bronze serpent being lifted up in the wilderness. And this story, the story of Balaam and the talking donkey. It is a story that may perhaps be somewhat familiar to us, the talking donkey. I was a little uneasy about the sermon title tonight, Learning from a Donkey. Some have suggested, anytime I teach you, that's an appropriate title. I will not ask for a show of hands on that, but I do think it is a title that fits what's going on in the story tonight. A story to teach Balaam, and also a story to teach us. What God requires. It is a warning from God and a call to faithfulness to God. Now, children, you heard me use two names a couple different times, Balak and Balaam. And those names sound very, very familiar. I will try to keep them straight. Balak, he is the king. He's the one who calls. And Balaam, he is the seer. He is the prophet. He is the one who is called by King Balak. So tonight we look at Balak and Balaam and learning from a donkey. Important to remember where Israel is in their travels at this point. They are preparing to enter into the promised land. And I think it was two times ago I gave you a little map to look at. We saw how they came to the Transjordan area and defeated the central portion of Transjordan. Then They went north to Og, king of Bashan, and defeated him. Now they are turning south to head south toward Moab. And that's what makes Balak, the king, so nervous. He knows what they have done to Sihon, king of the Amorites in the central Transjordan. He knows what they've done to Og, king of Bashan. And now they are turning toward him. We read in verse 4, "This horde will now lick up all that is around us, as an ox licks up the grass in the field." They are worried, thinking that they are next. They've gone to the central, they've gone north, and now the army is turning south toward Moab, Balak, and his people. And so Balak calls to Balaam. He calls that he might put a curse on this people, to give Moab something of an edge if they have to go into battle, that perhaps Moab might defeat them. Now, it seems that Balaam did have the power to bless and to curse in verse 6. "Come now, curse this people for me, since they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them from the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." Balak knew that when Balaam spoke a word of blessing, people were blessed. When he spoke a word of curse, people were cursed. And so Balak sends to Balaam the princes, verse 7. "And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the fee for divination in their hand. They came to Balaam and gave Balak's message. And he said to them, 'Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me.' So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam." Balaam is going to consult with God as to whether or not he should go with these men from Moab and from Midian. Balaam begins with a very good beginning of obedience. He wants to consult with God to see what God has to say. And in verse 12, we see God's response. God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." So God gives Balaam a very clear answer. You are not to go. You are not to curse this people. This is a blessed people. Balaam, obeying the word of God, then sends the men away. So Balaam rose in the morning, said to the princes of Balak, "Go to your own land, for the Lord has refused to let me go with you." The princes of Moab rose, went to Balak, and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." That was the first time that he was invited to come. Balak is not satisfied. So he issues a second invitation, verse 15. Once again, Balak sent princes more in number and more honorable than these, and they will go with a message to Balaam. We read in verse 18, "But Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, 'Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the command of the Lord my God to do less or more.'" A good answer. But he goes on, verse 19. "So you too, please stay here tonight that I might know what more the Lord will say to me." And we have the first hint in the story that perhaps Balaam is not as honorable, perhaps he is not as obedient as it might seem at first. We have the first hint in the story that perhaps Balaam can be bought. Let's see what else God has to say. And God does come to him once again, verse 20. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men have come to call you, rise, go with them, but only do what I tell you." Now given permission by God, but only to do what God calls him to do. He is given permission to go, but to do only what God says. And that's what he does. Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, went with the princes of Moab. And then we come to verse 22. But God's anger was kindled because he went. Hadn't God just said it's okay to go? Why is God's anger kindled? Because Balaam went with the princes. And that really raises the question, is Balaam a good guy or a bad guy? How does he fit really in this story and in the chapters that follow? Well, we have to notice at least that nowhere in Scripture is Balaam commended as one who follows God. He's never given that commendation. And in fact, elsewhere, his name, Balaam, is used in a very negative context. Is he a good guy or a bad guy? We are not told why God is angry that he went. There's hints in the text. Perhaps because God knew what was in his heart and what he intended to do to get the money. Because God, when he comes to him in verse 35, he will say, "Go with the men, but speak only the word I tell you." Perhaps it was Balaam's intent to speak his own word. The bottom line is, we do not know why God's anger was kindled against him, but we know that it was. God was angry because of something Balaam was doing. God, who knows all, God who knows the heart, knew Balaam was not acting honorably at this point. And God will come to warn him. Three times God will come to warn him. Verse 22, the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. And now he was riding on the donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a sword drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the road, went into the field, and Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the road. They're going along. Balaam is riding the donkey. The donkey sees the angel. The donkey sees the sword. And the donkey turns aside, goes off the road, so they will not be killed. As a result, Balaam is angry. Balaam strikes the donkey. They go on. Verse 24. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on either side. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed against the wall and pressed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Once again, the donkey sees the angel and the sword that is there. The beautiful irony in this story, Balaam is supposed to be the seer. Balaam is supposed to be the prophet. But he can't see. The donkey sees that which he is blind to. And this time, the second time when the warning comes, it hurts Balaam. The first time, as the donkey goes off the road, it was perhaps just a bit embarrassing for him. He couldn't control his own donkey. This time, it hurts him as his foot is pushed up against the wall. He strikes the donkey and continues on his way. Then we have the third warning, verse 26. Then the angel of the Lord went ahead and stood in a narrow place, where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. This time, the donkey, seeing the angel of the Lord, has nowhere to turn, and so lies down. And that is what occasions this strange turn in the story, where the donkey speaks. Verse 28, "The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?'" The donkey speaks to Balaam. But what I find more amazing is that Balaam speaks back to the donkey. Balaam says to the donkey, "Because you have made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you." Once again, the donkey talks. "Am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden all days of your life, all day long? Is it my habit to treat you this way?" And Balaam says, "No." There's a conversation going on between Balaam and a donkey. God opens the mouth of a dumb animal to educate the seer, the prophet. Three warnings are given. Three times the donkey sees the angel of the Lord finally having this conversation with Balaam. Three warnings. And then God opens Balaam's eyes. Verse 31. "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down and fell on his face." The Lord opens his eyes. Divine revelation is given to Balaam, and he sees this angel with a sword standing there as his adversary. And God confronts Balaam, again from verse 32. "The angel said to him, 'Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to oppose you, because your way is perverse before me.'" This time, not the words of a donkey. This time, the words of the angel of the Lord. "Your way is perverse before me. You are not doing what you were called to do." Balaam, there's so many ironies in this story. Balaam had said earlier, "Oh, if only there was a sword and I would kill my donkey." There is a sword in the hand of the angel of the Lord, a sword to strike Balaam. And so Balaam, confronted with this angel, confronted with this adversary, confronted with the fact that your ways are perverse, Balaam is called to confess what he has done. Verse 34, "Then Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, 'I have sinned.'" Balaam acknowledges, "I have sinned." But again, perhaps not as sincere as he might have been. What does he say? "I have sinned, for I did not know that you stood in the road against me." In other words, "I didn't see you. I didn't know you were watching me. I've sinned, but it's because I got caught." Maybe we as parents have experienced that with our children sometimes. They don't know that we're standing there in the doorway of the room, and we see them acting in ways, and they're so sorry. But they're sorry because they got caught. That's the spirit of Balaam's confession here. "I've sinned because I didn't know you were watching. I didn't know you saw what I was doing." And then, as if to top it off, Balaam says at the end of verse 34, "Now therefore, if it is evil in your sight, I will turn back." If it is evil, there's an angel with a sword and the donkey has talked. If it is evil, Balaam, it is evil. Your way is perverse. You don't intend to do what God has called you to do. I say he confesses, but perhaps his confession is not as full-hearted as it might have been. In spite of that, God speaks with grace to Balaam. The angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but speak only the word that I tell you." And Balaam went on with the princes of Balak. Do only what I allow you to do. And what he will say then is what we're going to cover in the next couple sermons in chapter 23 and following. It's a wonderful story. Balaam learning from a donkey. A great story. It's got action. It's got excitement. It's got talking animals. It's got a sword. It's a very exciting story to enter into. But there are other exciting animal stories. No, this is no precursor to the movie Shrek. We're not talking about that donkey. It is a message for Balaam, and it's a message for us. A message for us and for Balaam with regard to our sin and the necessity of confession. First, God comes gently. The donkey simply turns aside into the field. God comes gently and brings to mind that we are doing something that is not according to his way. We are not intending to follow him. Perhaps God makes us feel a bit uncomfortable with our sin as we sense that call to confession. If we continue on that way, God may have to come more harshly. And we feel the effects of our sin, as Balaam felt that foot against the wall. It hurts. It hurts, and what we should see, we don't see. And perhaps we even strike the one bringing us the warning. If a beloved brother or sister in the Lord comes to us and lovingly calls us to confess, perhaps our words are harsh and we strike out at them at that second warning. If we continue on that path of sin and continue to pursue our perverse way, God may arrest us in our tracks. And we may face that flaming sword of death and the call to confession. The sword is drawn. And the only way to withstand that is to acknowledge God's perfection. God, you are who you are, and I have sinned. Not a half-hearted confession. Not, God, you've caught me, and so I confess. But a confession, my sin is an offense against you. Forgive me, not because I got caught, but forgive me for what I have done. God will do what it takes to bring his people to confession of their sin. Tonight, God calls to us. If we are living in ways that are an offense to God, not in a way that is pleasing to him, don't reject the gentle word of admonition. Don't reject the call to confess what you have done. Lest God use a more serious call, something which hurts, and if we continue down that path and refuse to acknowledge and refuse to repent and refuse to see the angel of the Lord standing in the path, all that is left is the sword of judgment. We don't say to God, if this is wicked. We know God has revealed himself to us. He's revealed his law to us. We read that law every Lord's Day.
We read from Psalm 1 tonight that on God's law we meditate day and night. He's revealed the path of righteousness to us, the way of life. Turn away from sin. Turn away from that path. Confess and know the glories of life. Not the flaming sword, but the life that God promises. That's the call tonight. To turn away from our sin, to embrace Jesus Christ, the one who gives life to his people, the one who is the judge of his people. We're called to learn from Balaam and the donkey. Confession of our sin. This is God's grace to us when he calls us to confess. To turn from our sins, to trust in Jesus Christ, and then as we do what God has asked us to do, he commissions us. He doesn't treat us as second-class citizens. He commissions us to speak for his glory, to tell others what he has done for us. He has forgiven me of all of my sins. I was going down a path, and God turned me around, brought me to confession. Share the truth of what we know with those around us. Oh, may God help us tonight to learn well the lesson taught us in Numbers 22, the lesson of Balaam and the donkey, the call to confess our sins, the call to embrace Jesus Christ, and then to live for the glory of our God. Let's join together in prayer. Lord God, we thank you, for you are merciful and gracious, you are kind and compassionate. In your love and mercy, O God, you do not allow us to keep going down the pathway of sin, but you call us back. You bring those who will speak to us. May we not strike out at them, O Lord, but hear the call to confession. Humble our hearts before you and know the joy of living for you. We know, O God, there are temptations throughout life that would take us away. By your Spirit, draw us close. Keep us strong in you. We may testify to your goodness and your grace and live a life that is pleasing in your sight. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.